Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
Hello, Tigers fans. It's your host, Chet and Bill, talking Detroit Tigers baseball. Tigers had an interesting weekend. They're still sitting with a really, 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 really impressive record right now. And overall, was it the weekend series that we hoped for? Not in any way, shape, or form. But that all being said, losing 2 out of 3 to the Rangers at home, coming off winning 7 games on a 10-game road trip, I think fan interest was sky high. Comerica was packed all weekend. Tigers are still 26-15, which is just outstanding. And they still sit atop the American League Central. They're 7-10 their last 3, even though they've lost 2 straight. And right now they have a .634 winning percentage, which puts them on course to win about 102.7, so let's just call it 103 games this season. That being said, a couple interesting things. Everybody's nipping at their heels in the division. The Guardians are 2.5 games back. The Royals have been red hot. They are also 2.5 games back. Last 10, Guardians 6-4, the Royals 7-3, and then winners of 8 straight, and they've only lost twice in their last, 18 games, is your Minnesota Twins. I'm joking. It's just because you live there. I know you're not really a big supporter, and they are now 1 game above 500 and only 5 games back. So outside of the White Sox, who I don't think any of us really thought would amount to a whole lot this season, it's going to be a tight race going forward, and it should be competitive, interesting baseball for us. So with that, I'm going to dive into a game one recap, and I know you've got some superlatives to throw to the pitching staff's way. Tarek Skubal was nothing short of amazing. 7 innings pitched Friday night. He allowed 2 hits, 1 run, 1 earned run. He didn't walk anybody, and he struck out 12. His swing and miss was at an all-time elite level. I mean, we're talking in the history of baseball. What he did Friday night was something that's been done 5, maybe 7 times in the history of baseball by a starting pitcher. From that, Tommy Cannelly came in. He allowed a hit over an inning, but no earned runs. He's still sitting at a beautiful 0.61 ERA. And then Will Vest came in for the save, his 4th of the year, pitched an inning and struck out 1. With that, the Tigers, boy, they didn't hit. And you would have thought Andy Ibañez, the left-handed killer, would have done a little bit more. He's been having a great season against lefties. But Patrick Corbin had his number that night. He struck out once, went 0 for 3. And outside of Riley Green and Colt Keith, it was pretty lackluster at the plate. Again, the Tigers only scored 2 runs. Fortunately, because Skubal is on the mound, the Rangers only scored 1. I think it's just a reminder. It's going to be a long season. I said the projection earlier for the Tigers, you know, on pace to win 103 games. I still in my heart of hearts, believe this is an 88 to maybe 91, 92 win team. And there's going to be some leveling. It's just disappointing. It came at home. The weather broke. A Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day, Joanne. Would you like to say happy Mother's Day to your mom?
Yes. Happy Mother's Day, Susan.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to both of you. We appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed your days. That being said, I'd like to hear some of your thoughts on game one and just overall what you saw and witnessed Friday night from our guy, Tarik Skubal.
Well, first and foremost, 2-1 game. So this is a Skubal win right here. It's pretty much all on him. Offense was basically 3 hits in the whole game. Here's a problem that I'm seeing. Tarik Skubal is a bona fide ace. Cy Young number one in my book in the AL. Our offense has these droughts, which is going to happen. You're going to have offensive droughts. I'm fine. Every once in a while, you got to lean on that pitching staff.
Patrick Corbin's a good pitcher. Let's talk about this too.
Yes and no. He's been better now. He was awful for years with the Nats. I mean, they couldn't get rid of him. He was like the Jordan Zimmermann of like the Nats for a while there, right? But then he came to the Rangers and he started to climb back up into a respectable level.
He's just not a National League pitcher.
That could very well be the case. But he has definitely improved with the Rangers. We'll get to the Rangers pitching in a minute. I don't know how much of this was Rangers pitching or not. We'll give them their kudos by all means. Skubal, though, is our ace. He's dominant, and he's got the whole thing going. The K-strut, he's confident out there. I get worried when I see the Flahertys, the Reese Olsons, the rest of this staff kind of toil. It's like we have a number one and a bunch of number fours. We'll get to them because their games are due here in a second. Back to Scoobs, he's got everything going for him right now. I don't think he missed a pitch on Friday night in that first game.
No.
Every single, just pounding the zone, dotting the corners. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to watch. And we haven't had an ace like this in Detroit in a while. So enjoy it while he's here.
Not since JV in his heyday.
Not and since before JV that, in his heyday.
Jack Morrison has split finger fastball in the early, mid, and late 80s.
And he's really in some rarefied air statistically right now. I always look at these things and say, how long can he do this? How long can he keep this up?
So I went for a long bike ride thinking about how we ended last pod in terms of you really want to get something for him. And that's human nature. Why wouldn't you? Knowing that the likelihood of signing him, let's put it's certainly less than 20%, given that a fair offer was already offered. We know Scott Boras, his agent, likes to play games. We know Skubal's a Major League Baseball player union representative. We know Major League Baseball has the strongest union, not only in sports, but probably one of the strongest unions, if not the strongest union ever seen in the history of the labor force. That being said, I would pitch him until he can't pitch anymore and is no longer a Tiger. And you're just going to have to go from there. And here's why, you know, on the spike ride, I thought about it. I still think a labor stoppage is probably more likely than unlikely.
There's going to be some stuff happening.
And why I say that is that you still have owners named Jerry Reinsdorf of the Chicago White Sox. You have owners named Bob McNulty of the Pittsburgh Pirates that are small market. I mean, the White Sox are not a small market team. They just act like a small market team. I mean, they're in the third biggest market in Major League Baseball. Pittsburgh has more legs to stand on. You know, so would Cincinnati, so would Cleveland. Heck, so would the Tigers. That being said, if those owners decide to form a coalition and lock the players out, which could very easily happen, you know, I could see 20 of the 30 teams, 18 of the teams, you know, which would form a distinct majority doing that. And that could render this point moot. And at that point, we'd be kicking ourselves that Tarik Skubal's a Yankee or a Met or a Dodger or a Philly at that point, because who knows, you know, what's going to happen with the labor disagreement.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the labor thing will definitely define a few things going forward. However, I don't know if we could put it all on Reinsdorf. They have a very strong players association that doesn't budge on these things. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the business of baseball after those negotiations. I agree with you, though. I think we ride him out for 2 years, especially if we're competitive. If we're not competitive next season, you got to trade him. You got to get something for him. I don't want this to turn into one of the... We'll have another discussion about this later on in the season, depending on how the team's doing. But I love him. I don't want to get too attached to him because I'm almost positive he'll be gone. I would love to keep him. I love, you know, homegrown talent. But I'll give you a few numbers. And here's why he's going to command crazy freaking money. He had 12 Ks in that game the other night, 32 whiffs, most by a pitcher since 2023. He has 50 strikeouts, one walk in six starts. I had to like double check. I had to look back.
And that's
like,
unheard of. Right? That's unheard of.
That is unbelievable. He's throwing, I mean, the majority of his arsenal, his fastball is getting up there around 100 regularly now. He can hit any spot in the strike zone at this point, and he knows it. He knows it. I mean, he's peacocking all over the mound Friday night. It was ridiculous. Like, you saw him after the first, second inning, and they've talked about this a little bit, like his mental state. You know he's going for the no-hitter at that point. He's just like, I can do this. I can get these guys. And the Rangers, coming into this series, their offense had been abysmal. It was really, really bad.
They might have been in line for one of the three most disappointing starting
easily teams because they're baseball. A much better offense than they had been putting out. They got healthy on us in games two and three. We'll put it that way.
Well,
but in game one, it looked like they were really gonna just keep that turd of an offensive season going. And what it really was is it was Skubal. I mean, he's unhittable.
So should I hit him? I return your Tarek Skubal jersey that I'm getting you for your birthday along with your Chet belt buckle?
I don't do jerseys, first of all.
I'm joking with you. You know not that.
If you got jerseys, I love it. Whatever. I don't look good in them. They make me look like a human, like walking circus tent for some reason. I can't do them. That belt buckle, I'll take. I still have not found the Chet belt buckle. So if you can find me one,
I've got a
maybe
guy
with some Western flair, I'd love it.
It might be Old English D flair, but we'll see.
Old English D flair. I mean, Western, like country Western flair. You know, like
I know what you
like.
Meant.
Like a big bull riding belt buckle or something. Like I won a bull riding championship. So game one, Skubal game, he crushed it.
Yep.
I got nothing else. I mean, the box score, it's pretty weak.
It's Colt terrible.
Keith had a great game. Love to see it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Colt Keith, for coming back to the team and hitting baseballs again. And he looks good. Even when he goes like 0-for these days, at least he looks like he's putting an at-bat together.
Yes.
He doesn't look lost anymore. So I'm really thankful for that. He's getting his stats back up into a Colt Keith-esque level.
Okay. Game two, not good at all. 10-3, Rangers win. And Jack Flaherty, we will do a deeper dive on this. I took the loss. He is now 1-5. You and I can discuss this ad nauseum, but a pitcher's record is not necessarily indicative of how that pitcher is pitching. However, his 4.61 ERA is concerning, and it's his lack of command and it's his lack of confidence. We talked about this two pods ago that he has been very emotional. We're not talking like Skubal peacocking and strutting and, you know,
not
boisterous
out
on the mound.
A little
he
more
looks
negative.
Frustrated out there. And I can't help but wonder if he's someone that will benefit greatly from Jake Rogers returning in the next 10 days is what my I'm teasing a little bit of the news and notes towards the end. But we are getting reinforcements coming. Let's just talk about the game overall. That being said, we were up against probably Tarek Skubal's number one competition for the American League Cy Young this year, Jacob deGrom. I wish he had stayed in the National League. He is an absolute ace. He is an absolute stud. He's 3-1 with a 2.72 ERA. Let's talk just a little bit about what he did in the game and his box score. This is a real interesting one. He only pitched 5 innings. I would have let him go 7. He was dealing the entire game. 5 hits, 2 runs, 2 of those
earned. They're
going
to manage his innings, though. He's an injury waiting to happen these days. So when he's in there, he's great, obviously. When he's not, and he's gone for like half a season. So they're going to manage his innings. He got 5 innings.
Yeah. He walked one. More importantly, he struck out 10. And he did allow 2 home runs. So again, when his fastball is up in the zone, you can definitely connect on it. The problem was that only one of those runs happened in the first inning. So it was 2-1 Rangers. And then the wheels fell off in the second and third. It was 5-1 heading into the fourth, 5-2. And then in the fifth, the Rangers scored 2 more. So now we're 7-2. And essentially at that point, I turned the game off and went and did other things just because the Tigers weren't hitting and the Rangers bullpen was rested and actually did a good job shutting the Tigers down. That being said, the Tigers weren't hitting. I mean, so now we've got 4 runs over 2 games. That's not going to cut it in Major League Baseball. With that, let's talk a little bit more about the Tigers pitching staff. Flaherty only made it 3 innings, which was really the story to be told. He allowed 4 hits, 5 runs, all 5 of those earned. He walked 2, so his control wasn't real good. We've talked about that on this pod, how great both the bullpen for the Tigers and the starting pitching has been this season not walking anybody. Hence, the evening before, nobody walked. The Tigers did not allow a walk Friday night. This night, Saturday, they allowed 6 walks. And a lot of that could be the story of the game. Flaherty did strike out 4, but overall, between 5 Tigers pitchers, they had 9 strikeouts. And you compare that to Skubal having 10 on his own the previous night. It's just the tale of two teams, or two, the same team, two different completely results. My guy, Tyler Holton, he allowed 2 hits and an earned run. It's good to see Brebbia back, but he was a little bit rusty. He allowed 2 runs. And then Sean Gunther really got beat up. 1 hit, 2 runs, both of them earned. Actually, the only guy in the bullpen both Saturday and Sunday that remained unscathed in any way is your guy, Chase Lee.
Chase Lee, the Submariner.
Chase Lee is nothing short of a revelation, and I do not see Chase Lee getting sent back down. I think Chase Lee is here to stay.
You're foreshadowing because he's about to get his first start. So Jack Flaherty, I did a little deep dive on the stats here. And there's some troubling underliers, some troubling metrics that I dove into. Number one, his velo is not at peak Jack Flaherty velo. Last year with the Dodgers at the end of the season, there were concerns about his velocities dipping, and they dipped quite a bit. He's come back to us and he's brought those velocities up a bit. But they're not quite there. Here's the thing with Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty, he goes where his fastball goes. And if his fastball fades, he's not much of a pitcher. He's got a good knuckle curve. He's got a good slider. He plays him off his fastball. And he's very effective when he's located.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board. But then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hitting the fastball. He's never been a big velocity guy. Like, he tops out at like 92 or 93 at most, but when you lose a mile or 2 an hour and you're a 92, 93 guy, you get into that 90 territory. And if you're not locating, you're very hittable. He is hittable right now. His barrel rate is 12%, which is like double league average. To give you an idea, you can look around and see Skubal's barrel rate is like half the league average or whatever. His is double the league average. So guys are barreling up on him, which... He was throwing a lot of real flat fastballs right over the heart of the plate in that game against the Rangers, and they tagged him for 4 home runs. On top of that, you get into fielding independent pitching to see how pitchers are really doing without the defense and everything playing into the metrics. So ERA is, you know, it's kind of like an ERA stat. Fielding independent pitching, he is a 4.68 right now, I believe, which is in the awful territory. Not good. His xFIP's like a 3.3. which is more towards a league averages-ish. XFIP was like his expected fielding independent pitching. So maybe there's a positive regression that'll happen, but I don't see that happening without the velocity picking up a tick. So he could be, I mean, this could be Jack Flaherty right now. We're 2 months in, 6 games. First 3 games, he was pretty darn good. At least he had some luck on his side if it wasn't his pitching. He only gave up a home run or two in the first 3 games. He's given up 6 in the last 3 games. So something's going on there. That's my concern with Flaherty. Chase Lee, like I said, he's going to get a start. Mize is hurt. Bummer. That'll come in news and notes. Chase Lee's going to pick up the next start where he would have slotted into the rotation. Tyler Holton, your guy Holton, got banged around a little bit again. Brebbia came back off the IL. He got banged around in this game a little bit. So nothing really worked in this game. And our, you know, the only guy on offense I would call out would be Kerry Carpenter. Went 3 for 4. Tagged, he and Green both tagged DeGrom for a dinger. Carey should have had two. He popped one off the top of the fence. Likewise, it was, I think it was the first at bat of the game, and ended up being a double. But man, that thing got close. So he almost had two, which we love to see Carey hot. And he has been. He's been, so far, he's probably been one of my favorite Tigers to watch from the offensive side.
Can I talk to a little bit more about Jack Flaherty?
Yeah.
He went to Harvard Westlake High School in Los Angeles. He's from Burbank. It's a high school powerhouse for baseball. Talk about a lineup of starting pitching.
Yeah.
His high school teammates were Max Fried and Lucas Giolito. He was the third pitcher coming out of that. He started all 4 years in high school, and his first start when he was brought up by the Cardinals, he struck out the first seven batters that he faced. That being said, I think Jack Flaherty's problem isn't physical, and we'll debate this throughout the season.
Okay.
I think he's Billy Bean syndrome. If we go back to Moneyball, Billy Bean couldn't handle failure because he was so much better of an athlete than everybody else he faced. And I wonder if that's, if Jack Flaherty's issue isn't more his head than it is his physical being. Just a theory.
I would agree with you if the velocity hadn't been dipping a bit and they weren't barreling him up. Like, he's throwing, he's just got nothing on his fastball right now. We'll see, though. Maybe that plays out.
He just doesn't.
I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying, I don't know. We'll see.
His shoulders aren't held. His head's not held as high. His body language just isn't as good. All right. Game three was an absolute snooze fest. A Mother's
Disaster.
Day. 6-1 Rangers. And Nathan Eovaldi pitched very well, as you would expect him to. He's 4-2 with a 1.78 ERA. Solson, not his best outing. He's now 4-3, 3.38 ERA. He pitched four innings, allowed seven hits, three runs, all of them earned. Walked one, struck out five, allowed a dinger. From there, it only got worse. Bo Brisky came in to eat some innings. He pitched two, allowed three hits. Again, two runs, both of them earned. Allowed a home run. His ERA now is not good. He is just under seven at 6.94. And then, fortunately, Hinch went to the pen, and we do still have quite a few options. Brennan Hanafy came in and pitched an inning.
He looked good.
He looked good.
I give him that, kudos.
I'll give him one of the highlights or gold stars of the game. Brant Herder came in. He looked okay. And then Chase Lee came in and finished it off.
Yeah.
Tigers only struck out eight in this. They allowed three home runs, 12 hits, six runs, all of them earned. And the bats, again, were ice cold. Interesting side note, Chase Young and his brother Josh got to play against each other all weekend. Mom was in attendance. Brother Josh hit a home run for the Rangers, so mom was happy. A couple of things I just want to call out going down, you know, just the Tigers lineup. Obviously, if they scored one run, there's nothing to highlight here whatsoever. They struck out 10 times. They only walked twice. Jace Young is now batting 100 for the season. And what's more concerning is his OPS is...
He's a hole in the lineup right now.
0.334. So I fully expect him is, when we get to news and notes here in a minute, when Vierling comes back up, when Jake Rogers comes back up, which should be in the next couple weeks. So I'm giving you your news and notes right there. The other good news is that Alex Cobb should be ready here in the next 7 to 10 days. So
depending we're getting on Mize's injury, might need him.
Yeah, and then Mize also is scheduled to come back. So four potential players coming back. But anyway, going back to Jace Young, he is a huge hole in the lineup, and he's not walking. The other part is that even though we love Jay Hen, his workload has decreased, and essentially AJ's been bringing him in as a pinch hitter.
Yeah.
He's still batting below 200.
He actually looks like he comes in to pinch hit in the situations where he's like, we need a walk.
Yes.
Get a walk.
And he's batting 191. His OPS is still good at 654, but
because he gets walks.
Exactly. But he needs to be a 250 hitter to maintain a spot in this lineup. That with the walks would keep him in there. And I still dislike him batting leadoff. I still think Gleyber Torres is our best leadoff hitter because he's so difficult to strike out. So I'm very curious if that's Gleyber's request or why AJ is not batting him leadoff, because Carpenter batted leadoff in this game.
I would rather see Carpenter in the two hole.
Same. I just flip-flop those two.
And Gleyber leading off, I would not have a question as to why he'd be leading on. I'd be like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. With that, that's really, there's not a whole lot more to say. The Red Sox are coming to town for a three-game set, and we, the Tigers, need a rebound game as bad as they've ever needed one. So tonight's matchup is going to be Jackson Jobe on the bump, and he's going up against Tanner Houck. So right-handed pitcher. So we'll see, you know, righty versus righty. And I think the other storyline within this is Alex Bregman's gotten off to a good start for the Red Sox. Most of our listeners recall he was the Tigers' top free agent prospect. Gleyber Torres is really only a Tiger because of the Tigers not being able to sign Alex Bregman, even though they made more than a fair offer. What's interesting is this has caused all sorts of discord and uneasiness within the Red Sox. So much, in fact, that the owner, John Henry, had to come out with the executive C-suite, general manager, president of baseball operations, and have a sit down with one Rafael Devers, who was moved from third base to designated hitter and is now refusing to play first base.
Won't play first. Interesting.
Well, he somewhat has a point in the fact that he was a good third baseman and they signed Bregman anyhow.
Yeah, it's weird.
Acquiesced. We know the meaning of that word, meaning that he did it not really willingly or not that openly, and he doesn't want to keep getting shuffled around. That being said, yeah, he's being selfish. And I'm so happy that we're not dealing with this issue.
He's being selfish, but he's also on a tear at the plate right now. So we're getting him at a really bad time. I don't know if he's just playing angry and showing him, like, I can do better than Bregman, but he is on a tear right now. So whatever this is that's happening, not affecting him. I'm a little scared for him this series, to be honest. We'll see.
And then you were giving a little foreshadowing. I'm on the Major League Baseball app, and I'm not seeing, it's still TBD on the starting pitcher for Tuesday's game.
I believe it was announced as Chase Lee.
That is fantastic, and he's going to
get a spot start, and then it'll probably be Keiter after that.
Yeah, another righty. It's Brayan Bellow.
Yeah.
And then the good news is, on Wednesday, if all hell breaks loose or, you know, this just doesn't go the Tigers' way the first two games, Scoobs is back on the mound.
Yeah, and he's gone up against a guy who's filling in for, I believe, Walker Buehler, who's on the IL.
Yeah, it's Hunter Dobbins. We're getting another righty. So the Red Sox are very right-hand dependent. And unlike going up against Jacob DeGrom and Eovaldi, we're getting the bottom, if you would, of the Red
Sox. Tanner Houck struggled, so he should be gettable.
Yeah.
I think the challenge will be tomorrow's game, Bellow.
Yeah.
That's going to be the tough one.
And what we get out of Jackson Jobe tonight. Are we going to get the Jackson Jobe?
You know,
if we can get 5+ innings with him not walking, having good command, good control, and I feel good about that. The Tigers are going to have to score runs, though. You cannot score 6 runs in a series and have any hope.
Young pitching
outside
staff,
of
you
winning
give
the Scooble
game.
Yeah.
We got a younger pitching staff. You got to give them some run support. Guys like Reese are still considered fairly young. Guys like Jobe, obviously.
Yeah.
Very young. You're going to have Chase Lee starting a game young.
I'm so excited to see that.
And I think one of the things, and I was alluding to this earlier, after you get past Scooble in our rotation, it's a very low floor, high ceiling rotation.
Oh, yeah.
We got guys that can come out and be lights out. Jobe can come out there and look like the top tier prospect that he's been touted as, the high draft pick. And then we can really throw a stinker out there. You know, Reese is getting more consistent as time kind of goes on, but he needs to hit the strike zone. He's still a young guy learning to pitch. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. This is the type of series where you go in and you see the Red Sox are playing pretty good baseball.
Yes, they are.
They got Bregman and Devers in a lineup. Like, don't forget about Willy Abreu is a very good young hitter. You've got Trevor Story to deal with. Christian Campbell is a bright young player, not quite as great with the bat yet as he's going to be. You have Jaron Duran, who's a tough out. Sedane Rafala. You got a lot of talent on this team right now. And then you got a Robert Refsnyder just to be pesky and piss you off. So there's a lot to get around in this lineup. I think our pitchers will have their hands full. Our offense needs to show up against what should be depleted rotation.
Tonight is going to be critical.
End of a rotation.
If AJ has to go to the pen in the third inning or fourth inning and the pen's not, you know, electric, it could be a real long series, save Wednesday's game.
We got to take advantage of Houck and Dobbins.
Yeah.
Bellow's going to be a challenge.
Would you like some injury updates?
Please do. Let's get to that.
Casey Mize tweaked his hamstring in Colorado in the final inning after pitching that gem, which is so unfortunate. This seems more precautionary, Chet, than it does.
Probably is.
Yeah.
You don't want him out there with a tweaked hamstring throwing. That's when you screw up shoulders and elbows and start changing stuff. And
So May 24th is his possible return. Great news on Matt Vierling. His rehab assignment is going great. He is possibly scheduled to come back May 19th. He's batting 300.
I got a question for you. I'm going to stop you right there because I got a question for you.
Yeah.
When he comes back, do you want to see him playing third base or center field?
At this point, third base is more of an urgent need, and I keep Javi where he is. And I wanted to circle back to this, and thank you for teeing me up. That's why this synchronicity works.
Yep.
At this point, I don't want to upset the apple cart or have a Devers situation happen with Javi. Javi is a fully vested Major League Baseball player. You can't do anything with him. You owe him a ton of money. Everything that the Tigers are getting out of Javier Baez should just remain the same for now. And what I think is you have Vierling play third, and when Meadows comes back, which we'll get to in just a minute, which looks longer term, that won't be till the end of May at the earliest, then you have a decision to do what you want with Javier Baez. But shortstop's not foregone conclusion at this point in any way, shape, or form. So what are your thoughts?
I am. So first and foremost, I saw something this past weekend. I think Javier Baez is Javier Baez. I'm going to do it. God, I hate that. But Javier Baez is a top five center fielder right now, defensively.
Yeah, there's
eat that. How in the heck is that happening?
He's I can't believe he's just
that gifted that he goes out there and becomes a top five center field, not a right field, not a left field. He's playing center field. He's the captain of the outfield right now, and he's doing it really well. I am fine and dandy with them leaving him in center field. The bigger question comes to, like, Parker Meadows comes back. Now, we don't know what the lineup's going to look like by the time he comes back, but I did start doing, you know, just a little envisioning here. Your Jay Hens won't be in there anymore. Your Jace Jungs won't be in there anymore. And you're going to have Meadows and Vierling back in the lineup. And then the lineup starts to look quite formidable if everybody else can stay healthy. Oh, and with a Javier Baez hitting, you start to wonder where some of these people will fit, actually, when these guys all come back. Granted, no more injuries, no other injuries. I mean, that's a, you know, obviously a pie in the sky scenario. But I don't know. Will you put Parker Meadows at DH? Do you put him in? I don't think you could DH.
No, he's going to be the starting center fielder.
He's got to be the starting center fielder, right?
Yeah.
So you move Javi around to the corner outfield spots, moving around.
I think you move him back to short.
Goes back to short. I mean, where does Trey Sweeney go then? He's been playing great. I hate to see Trey Sweeney hit the bench. Maybe he's better as a utility guy or a spot start guy. Now for Trey, I'm not sure.
Could he and McKinstry be your two utility guys?
Again, good problems to have.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but like Zach McKinstry will regress to his mean here as the season goes along.
Oh, let's hope not. Come on
so
now.
Hot. But he's been so hot. I mean, you can't expect him to keep doing that for the rest of this season. We have no previous statistic that tells us that'll happen.
Should we start calling him Zachary?
Zachary.
Like Javier.
I don't want to change too many names. Javier is a special situation.
I know it is.
It's a special situation. He has completely changed who he is on the ball field.
More news and notes on injuries. Sawyer Gibson Long through 1 1/3, but he's only at single A Lakeland right now. So
we'll see.
Yeah, he had right elbow and left hip surgeries. So if we see him at all this season, I think it's going to be when the 40-man roster comes about. And then prospect-wise, Kevin McGonigal, who could – I mean, that's the Tigers' number two prospect. Yeah. And this is going to be interesting for Trey Sweeney as well, is what's going to happen because McGonigal's a shortstop slash second baseman, middle infielder. He's beginning his rehabs assignment at single A Lakeland. He started that on May 10th. He went 1 for 2. He's dealing with a right ankle sprain. And then because you demanded it, more mustache is going to be back in the middle of May. So we're going to have an official log jam at catcher. But quite frankly, Nito's going to get sent back down as a career Crash Davis, if you would.
Which he's played pretty well in his time.
He's played great.
He hasn't been like the big hole in the lineup.
So then Alex Cobb is also expected to return at some point this month. My question to you is this. Chase Lee's been pitching lights out, and I think he deserves the start. Is that the right thing to do, though? And why is Montero not getting the ball?
Because it's just a rotation. It's a scheduling thing. I think Montero pitched in the doubleheader recently, and they're, you know, but it's a spot start deal. I know, but I think it's too many. I don't think he's had enough days.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And they manage these guys to a T. So it's like there. I have heard that Chase Lee will take this start. Montero should get the next one if Mize misses a second start, which he probably will.
Okay.
So look forward to that.
That is what I have for today's.
I'm good. Yeah, this is I'm excited for the Red Sox. I always like watching the Red Sox.
Yeah, I know. They're one of those iconic American League.
And they got a lot of good players. It's going to be a real tough series. Yeah. Coming off that Rangers series, I would have liked to have seen us take 2 out of 3 from the Rangers. We get our only fourth series loss of the season, so we'll get over it and move on. I just hope that we fix a few things and right the ship.
For those of you East Coast, 6:40 start times, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. For those of us in the Central time zone, 5:40, remainder of time zones, figure it out for our listeners across the pond and worldwide.
It's like a dinner time game.
Yeah. You just do you and tune in to the Litter Box for a recap. We will come back to you all after the Red Sox series and get you going, you know, recapping that and talking a little bit more about injuries and lineups. Our guy Javier, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, have a good week. To the border after the Red Sox.
So I know.
Be prepared for Blue Jays. Blue Jay baseball there.
I'm gonna have to go buy a case of Labatt for that.
Only you would. Only you would.
It's a delicious beer.
All right, Bill.
See you, Chad.
Enjoy the Sox.